Now, we, I always know when we're going to have a good service. You know how? Anybody know? All the destruction, all the distractions that happen. See, all of a sudden, all morning since I got out of bed to right now, there's been distractions. And this is when you know God's up to something great, don't you? Amen. Amen. So I'm excited because the word I have today is just the word, and I wasn't real excited about it, but when I'm getting all these distractions all of a sudden, in my spirit, God begins to tell me I'm up to something and you ain't. Amen. Amen. Say, God's up to something. God's up to something today, and I'm not sure what it is, but I want to tell you this. When I was praising the Lord, God began to tell me to bind some things. Amen. God says what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. Do you believe that? Now, I don't know if anybody come in here defeated today, but you're in the wrong place because this is a place of victory, amen? But I'm telling you today that if you walked up in this place and your head's between your legs because you got whipped all weekend or all week or over Christmas, I want you to know that you're in the right place. Everybody say, I'm in the right place. See, I'm telling you today that you might be facing some trials and some temptations today, but there's a God who's an omnipresent God who is right in the middle of our business from beginning to end, and he knows the need of everybody that was going to walk in here today assembled, and he knew that you was going to be here, and he knows every problem that you face today. Everybody say, I'm ready. See, if God is bigger than your problem, God is bigger than your circumstances, and God is bigger than any old distraction that sits before us, can you shout hallelujah? See, so all of a sudden we begin to get quick in our spirit that God is up to something. Today I just happen to be preaching on to entering in to God's presence. Ain't that something? As you begin to enter into God's presence, I want you to know that the enemy tries to distract you. He tries to get you to look away, to tell you you can't make it. It ain't going to never work anyway. It's just the status and the normal old thing like always. But everybody say this with me. Get behind me, Satan.
Get behind me, Satan.
Because all power, everybody say power. It's been invested in and endued on you. What that means is that what lives inside of you is stronger than anything that this old counterfeit world has to offer, amen? So when you begin to get down deep in your spirit in the year 2015, I'm telling you that we're about to launch something up out of this church, amen? And I'm telling you, as we begin to launch something up out of here, the enemy is not going to sit back and wait for us to be launched, amen? He's going to undergird. He's going to attack. He's going to do everything he can. But that's okay because we know who we are, amen?
Amen.
So who's in for the ride for 2015? Amen. I'm telling you what, I'd like to tell you put your seatbelts on, but I'm telling you to take them off because it's going to cost us something and we're going to move forward. Everybody say forward. Always forward and never backwards. In the message today, I'd like to share with you some thoughts about how you can enter this coming year with a profound, everybody say profound.
Profound
sense of God's presence. Everybody said, oh. See, here's the thing is that the problem that we have today is that we don't have a profound sense of God's presence in anything we do. What we do is use him as an afterthought. We say, well, God, you know, we're getting ready, so will you bless it, God? I just did, and will you cover it for me? But what we need to know is that we need to have a profound sense of God's presence in our families, in our jobs, and in our church, and in our outreaches. It's got to be about what God wants up inside of us. It's not about us, but it is about him. Amen? Okay, now we're getting it. It says this will give you the faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Got some great faithers in here, don't we?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Some great faithers in here. We've got to have faith to face all the many challenges that shall come this new year. See, this year is no different than last year. The Christian life is a life of faith, and we live from faith to faith. What we begin to understand, I've done many funerals this year, many of them unexpected, many of them was overdoses, many of them I've talked to people, then they went on to commit suicide. I can tell you as we begin to have struggles that's real in life, I'm telling you that there's an adversary, there's a demon that's right from the pit of hell, and his name is Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satan, whatever you want to call him, but he's real. At some point, we've got to get dropped down deep in our spirit that devil is for real, but Christ came, so we can have that life of abundance, and what we've got to begin to do is to get that lying, no good for nothing, rotten thief up out of our grill and begin to speak faith and to begin to speak truth in what God's word has promised to you. Give him a hand clap of praise this morning. The Christian life is a life of faith. We understand that. Everybody knows that. We must have the ability, listen to me, to see and to perceive, this is the secret, those things that are in the heart of God. The things that are in the heart of God that He desires to release, everybody say release, into our lives. See, today some of you are going to face bankruptcy. It's going to happen in 2015. Some of us is going to face a bad doctor's report in 2015. Some of us is going to go on to be with the Lord in 2015. Some of us is going to go through some stuff in 2015, but the question is this, are you going to be steadfast in your belief in Christ? Do you understand that the last 3 weeks I've preached a message leading you up to today to let you know that when we come into 2015, we come expecting, God, here are we, use us. And when we stand on that mountaintop and we begin to shout, God, here are we, use us, can we just say that we know the attacks are going to come? In your family today, you look back and you say, man, why is my family being attacked? Why are we going through the trials? This is where you begin to praise God for the trials. This is where you begin to understand, just like Job, I don't care what nobody says, I'm going to praise the Lord, amen. It doesn't matter what's going on around you and the storm that's coming up, is ripping everything apart, you must go forward. When we are walking in an acute sense of the presence of a risen Savior, amen, we're able to face those problems and undertake the task, meet the emergency, and dedicate ourselves to the opportunities that come our way. Praise the Lord, amen. In the faith chapter in verse 11, in chapter 11 and verse 6 of Hebrews, listen, Hebrews 11, 6, out of this great faith chapter, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He might be. Yeah, it could be. It says He is. It says He is the great I Am. He is the first, the last. He is omnipresent. He is the one that is in charge. It says, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now listen, I'm not too impressed, and I don't know if Larry's here, but Brother Mark's right here. I'm not real impressed when I walk up inside the jail on Christmas Eve and somebody begins to tell me, oh, I believe in God, and this and God. And I say, hold on, Mark, I can't handle that. See, the truth is, the devil believes in God, hallelujah. The devil goes to church. I'm not impressed with anybody going to church. It comes down to who is dedicated and who believes that God is the great I Am. Who is it that's going to sacrifice and stand up for what is right? Who is going to stand back and say, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Amen. See, all of a sudden, I'm telling you, I can't be too impressed, and neither can you, when someone says, well, I believe in God. You can begin to tell me, yes, so don't Satan. Whoa. You know what happens? The guy did this. Hey, hold on a minute now. He backpedaled a little bit. And I said, look, I'm not trying to make you mad. That doesn't impress us, man. We're here to talk to you about a personal relationship. The Bible says it's so simple, a fool shouldn't miss it. Are you a fool? Everybody said, I ain't no fool, man. And what you missing it for? What you missing it for? Because if you want to keep doing the same thing, you end up with the same results. Amen? So we could go in there with all the confidence in the world and tell a brother, you ain't doing something right because you're incarcerated. Okay, so if you want to keep doing the same thing, you'll keep getting the same results. All right, everybody with me now. Don't get mad at me. But listen to me. When it says, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, I got a note down here. God will not settle for mere acknowledgement. Don't like to hear that. That's not popular preaching, is it? Is it? Is it popular? I acknowledge God. It says that if you believe in your mouth and confess with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you're saved. Amen? Amen? Anybody can acknowledge, but it comes back to this. I told you a couple weeks ago, remember the guy that walked in? Now tell me if this is acknowledgement, it hurts your feelings, right? He walks in when I'm praying for someone out in the streets and he says, F God. Acknowledgement, right? Right? Here's the thing, that's not what God's after. He doesn't want His name used in vain. He's looking for someone to be holy because He's holy. He's looking for someone to believe and to trust that He can do all things, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. See, it takes us getting into the message and understanding that God's word is true. We don't got to water down the word. Y'all look like you're shell-shocked right now, amen? Amen. Sorry. All right. I'm going to get into the mess. Everybody looking at me like, what in the world's going on here? Amen. But listen to me. God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him, committed to Him. God desires to be with us in everything that we do, the good and the bad. He is there for us no matter what it may be. Whenever you are facing problems that seem, I'm telling you, like they're bigger than life itself, God is there undertaking various tasks, meeting emergencies, and taking advantage of opportunities that come your way. God is about to bless you. God wants you to know that He is with you in all that you do. Everybody got me? This is a 2015 message. And I'm just trying to tell you, I'm excited because we're going, this is our season, amen. I was talking to my brother. He said, man, this is my season. I said, man, it's my season too, amen. I'm telling you, I've been through the struggles in 2014, building and building and building, and we can't just keep building. Listen, we're expanding. We can't be knocking out doors and putting our walls and putting in doors. We can't be expanding the bathrooms. We can't be redoing the gymnasium. We can't be consolidating and moving all the kids in one direction. We cannot train 32 leaders inside of a church of this size and expect the enemy to set back on his heels and say, go ahead, have your way. You got to understand that we're in a world that is sin cursed, and God wants us to walk into hell and kick the gates open and pull and set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Can you shout amen? See, it's going to cost us something. And then in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16, we're talking here in this particular scripture is talking about the servant of the Lord. He said, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Oh, man, that's good. Have you ever been blind and just blind in faith and say, I don't know what's going on, God, but I trust you. And you get to the other side and there he is. And you say, God, I would have never made it if you didn't show me. Amen. You know, it's an unfamiliar path. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. Oh, let me tell you something. If you've had some rocky roads and they got smoothed out, it wasn't because of you. It was because of the Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. And yet we begin to understand this. These are the things I will do, he says. I will not forsake them. And then all of a sudden, I got this other scripture here in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. The Lord is speaking to the house of Israel here. But listen, he says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I'm here. Even to your old age and your gray hairs, I'm here. See, it doesn't matter how long you got to go down the road. See, some of you is fighting a battle today and your hair is turning old and gray and some of your hair is falling out, amen. But here's the thing, it comes back to this, the battle's not yours and you fought it long enough, surrender it to the Lord. Listen, it says, even to the old age and the hairs, the gray hairs, I am here. I am he who will sustain you. He says, I am the one who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you and I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Let me read this to you again. If you think the battle is yours today, listen. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you, reminding us again, and I will rescue you. Oh, man, that's powerful. And I see we've experienced that. I would like to share with you some directions today. However, this is my intro, amen. I've got something shut up inside of my bones today that I've got to share with you for 2015. But I want to give you some directions to be looking to as far as in God's awesome handy work in your life. I'm telling you that God is at work in your life. And I've been telling you for 4 weeks, all of a sudden we begin to look at Christmas. And I know a lot of us are happy and celebratory. And we're excited. God, look what you're doing. But I want you to know I've done more counseling in the month of December than I've ever done in my life. I want you to know I talked to more addicted people than I ever have in my life. I want you to know I've had more suicidal people with the guns in the roof of their mouth in the month of December than I ever have in my life. I want you to know that I faced more people with addictions than I ever have. So I think the war is real. And so I stand up here with not no lukewarm, wishy-washy message for you for 2015. I'm telling you, if you've got a battle in front of you, I'm going to encourage you with the word today to stand up and fight for what's yours. God didn't call you to be weak and wishy-washy, but he called you to be powerful to the pulling down of strongholds that's in your life. And God wants you to stand up and take back what the enemy's stolen from you. Everybody give him a hand clap. The directions to look for God in the year 2015. The first point I want to cover with you, just five short points. Listen to me now. The first one is look back. Everybody said, well, Pastor always tells me don't look behind you no more. It ain't worth going back for. The only way you get tripped up is if you turn around. That's true. Don't you never forget where God brought you from. Amen. I never, ever forget what God has done for me. I'm not talking about just my salvation. I'm not just talking about when I first got saved. I'm not talking him bringing me into sobriety. I'm not talking about him blessing me and all that. I'm talking about from day to day. Every day I begin to praise God for the wars that I'm in. I begin to praise God that I sit in that counseling chamber and people pour their heart out and they begin to talk about the way they really feel. God puts people right in my crosshairs and all of a sudden I can speak life and not death. Amen. I'm telling you, God has got something for us and we've got to look behind us and help people up. Everybody say, help them up. Amen. See, when we can get past us, amen, and we begin to get thankful for what God does for us, let's begin to have our hearts broken for those who don't know Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, oh, this is beautiful, isn't it? Whatever is true. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, Sherry's up here being led by the Lord, didn't even know it. Well, maybe she did. But let everything inside of you give him praise. See, when you come to the end of you, some of us, it took a little bit longer. Amen. It took some of us a little bit longer. Still, some of us are so self-centered. I was talking to a brother yesterday, was working on a church. He said, man, that's one of the hardest things in the world to come to the end of us, ain't it? I said, man, is it ever? I said, man, we'll find Christ, but we're so self-centered, man. We want it the way we want it, what makes us look good. Hey, you know what I like and what I'm impressed with? I like to see someone who will lay down and let somebody wipe their feet on them, steal from them, take advantage of them, lie to them. You know why? Because they're taking the lowest seat, and God is about to exalt them because he wants to exalt the people who do not know Christ. That's impressive, isn't it? So a lot of people, you look at them and say, oh, they're good servants of the Lord, but they're self-centered, self-seeking, and self-righteous. And self-indulgent. What's in it for me? Everybody say, with them. With them. What's in it for me? Now, I'm not cutting on nobody, so don't nobody get mad yet. I'm going to prove this. But so often, what God wants is less of us and more of him. Amen. So this year, I want us to do that. Listen, I'm preaching to the choir. We got a church that serves. We got a church that loves. We got a church that's got some things going on. Amen? Amen. So what's going to happen this year? You guys are about to pull some other churches to a wholly new level. I'm telling you that I'm meeting with pastors, and I have been for years. I sat in chambers again last week, and I listened to all this stuff that's going on. I was going to go ahead and tell you. It's supposed to be secret. It kind of is. I ain't going to tell you everything. They said, what if we give you $1 million? What can you do with that? Well, we have 4 weeks to think about it. And we came back, and I was embarrassed because I listened to my good friends, my brothers in Christ, come up with the best plan they could formulate. And they says, have a $100,000 concert for free for everybody, for all the Christians. That offended me to no end. I can't imagine how that offended God. I sat there and never said a word. I said, God, don't let me have no body language. God, keep my mouth shut. God, let me decrease. God, don't. And God, let me shut up. And then one of the brothers messed up. Pastor Sim, what you got to say? You ain't said nothing yet. And I said, oh, well, I'm going to ask you to forgive me before I speak. I said, because I got something to say about that. Shame on us to even think that way. When are we going to start helping those people who's the least of? When are we going to feed the real ones that's really hungry? When are we going to clothe the naked? When are we going to do less? See, what God wants us to do is become less so he can become greater. I said, today, all of us who have, amen, we're all the havers, amen. Shame on us, man. I'll throw me in there. God does want to bless me, and God wants to bless you. But he wants to be a blessing so you can be a blessing. So, you know, often people ask me this question. I just had this question from a businessman this week. He said, am I doing what's right? Am I blessed? I said, well, don't ask me. I'm just going to ask you to do this. I'm going to tell you the same thing. Go ahead, go get your checkbook. Uh-oh. You hear me? He didn't go to this church, by the way, so everybody said, whoo, good. But he said, how can I tell if I'm doing what God told me to do? I said, well, just get your checkbook open. You got it? And he said, I'll go get it. When God, I said, now lay it out here. How much have you give to God? Well, this is my business. That's my business. Personally, he said, I've given every bit of 10%. I said, well, then you just what you're supposed to do. That's what required. Good job. He said, so what are you telling me? I said, you ain't going to get blessed because you get blessed off the offering, not off the tithe, but off the offering. I began to teach him. You hear what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, he had to look back. And he looked back and he says, it's time for me to catch up. And all of a sudden, he went to his church and he blessed his church. Can you say amen? Amen. See, sometimes we've got to look back. And whatever is praiseworthy is what it said. Take the time to look back over the past year. Identify those items, listen to this, which I'm telling you, which give you evidence and faith. Has anybody been through some great trials in here this year? Say, what? Wait a minute. Now, let's do this again. If you've been through a great trial this year, raise your hand. Now, hold on a minute. Put your hands down. If you have been through a great trial this year, raise your hand. Now, stop and freeze, and don't you dare put it down. Everybody turn around and look. Everybody look at everybody. Just go ahead and look. I'm going to give you a second to look around. Then everything that's inside of you ought to be praising the Lord because he brought you through. Amen. Everything inside of us should allow us to look back and to go forward. Amen. Let's give him a praise today. See, he brought you. You can look back easily now and you can begin to look at all the stuff that God brought you from, and that's nothing more than a stair step, amen. God brought you from despair to courage. God brought you from brokenness to holiness. God broke you from being all the way down to the bottom to all the way to the top. You know that God has got something for you. Amen. He's worthy of all praise. As you look back and see how the hand of God has worked in your life just over the year 2014 and past that, Psalms 140:13 was the scripture that God brought to me. Surely the righteous shall give thanks. Wow. Surely the righteous shall give thanks. Is there any righteous in the house today? One. All right. The upright shall dwell in your presence. It doesn't matter what the trial is. And yes, it's bad, and we don't like trials, and we don't like being cast into that fire when we don't want to and haven't planned for it, hadn't expected. Your whole family's going to hell in a handbasket, and all of a sudden you're trying to get back, and you said, I didn't plan for it. I ain't ready for it. My name is Job. And all of a sudden you begin to understand that God said, have you considered my servant Job? I begin to understand this is that when we walked into that jail system on Christmas Eve morning and we began to minister to those people, all of a sudden we see people become to the loving knowledge. They came to the loving knowledge of a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. We could have been self-centered, self-seeking, and self-righteous and stayed at home and not went out and served the people that needed to serve that was incarcerated. But my God's word says that you are to visit the incarcerated. And we went and we visited them. And guess who got the increase? The Lord. Amen. See, I'm telling you today, God's word's for real. As you take the time to meditate on the things that you've had to look back at, give God thanks for the many blessings that he's blessed you with in your life. You will experience a fresh sense of his presence when you begin to thank him and prepare you for what's ahead of you yet this year in 2015. Everybody say, look back. Look back. As you look back, you also got to look inward. Second point. To look inward here, I want to share with you Psalm 51, verses 6 through 8. David was being convinced of his sin. He poured it out his soul. He was pouring out his soul here to God. But listen, behold, you desire truth. What's the other word for truth? Faithfulness. Right? It says, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part of part of you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. That the bones that you have broken may rejoice. See, it's the trial that you went through, and it says that you was crushed and you was perplexed and you was broken and you was beat down and you was in despair. But he's the joy of the Lord is upon you today. The trials that should have wiped you out, that should have killed you, that should have checked you all the way out, only made you stronger. Can you shout hallelujah? See, those that truly repent of their sin will not be ashamed to own their own repentance. And see, we got to come to that place to take stock of ourselves. Look at your relationship with God and with others and your stewardship over all that God has given you and entrusted to you. Hold each area of your life alongside God's standard. You hear me? Everybody still with me this morning? See, we're going to do some preparing for 2015, and I said so often it's hard to hear the truth, but the truth is this, is that we want to put our standard beside my wife's. I want to put my standard beside my boss. I want to put my standard beside the church or beside the pastor or beside, but you are to put your standard right beside God and His Word. Whatever His Word says is what we need to be doing. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Listen, we need to take stock, pray, and grow in faithfulness and holiness. Faithfulness and holiness. Again, David in the psalm here, listen, in 139, 23, and 24. There's something that's going on here. A heart to stand approved in the sight of God. This is what David's doing here. He said, God, here's my heart. We know that David was a man after God's own heart, don't we? And in this writing, listen to this right here. I want you to hear this. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. You can bet he will. Amen? You say, I got that secret, man. God, ain't nobody knows. I got it all together, but man, I'm hooked on pornography. I got it all together, but nobody knows. I hide it because I cut my body. I got it all together, but I got it all together, but I got it all together, and my sin just ain't as bad as that sin. And there's a different level of sin. There's a different way. Listen, the Bible is clear that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? When we receive that into our spirit, all of a sudden people will be in your path, and you'll look at them, and you say, well, they got status, they got dignity, they got whatever it is there, they got money, they got things or whatever. Oh, that's okay, they can live like hell, because they're okay. They're not okay. Without Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. Everybody say that with me, without? If you don't believe it, don't say it, all right? Without Jesus Christ, you go to hell. That is not a popular message today, is it? It's not a popular message, but today in the church needs to be clanging the cymbal and saying, listen, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to look inward to have that personal relationship. It says it's personal. You can't ride to heaven on dad or mom or grandma or grandpa's shirt tail. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about you confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that He is your Savior. Shout amen. Take stock yourself, it says. Then Psalms, all of a sudden we begin to look at this. It says, we're put to the test. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way. See if there's any wicked way. Everybody say wicked way. See if there's any wicked way in us, okay? And here's what, let me keep going, way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As you take the time to look inward, you will be blessed and encouraged. And when you see the many areas where you did well. Amen? The problem is we want to look at all of our hang-ups. We want to look at all of our failures. How about start looking and rejoicing and praising God for what He's already did? Look inward and say, God, thank God I ain't where I used to be. Amen. Be honest with God and be honest with yourself, and you shall experience a great refreshing from Him that will give you the enthusiasm that you need to change. Everybody say, look inward. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says it this way, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we need to be refreshed, don't we? As we begin to look inward, the way that you'll rejoice is when you understand that God has brought you from it, He's taken you to it, He's got you all the way through it, and you're on the other side, and the only thing that's next is another trial. Amen? We say this, a new level. New devil. Next level, another devil. Amen. We know that we have a battle that sets before us. Third point. Uh-oh, here it is. They got it. Look to Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Now begin to say it like you mean it.
Jesus.
Oh, you say it like you mean it. Go ahead.
Jesus.
All right, three of you mean it. All right. Just kidding, we're going to be back into Hebrews now, Hebrews chapter 12. And listen, I want to say this. As throughout, you might have a problem and a hang up with the church, with your loved ones, with the pastor, with whatever it is, but it's about personal. Everybody say personal. So look unto Jesus personally. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. People from the faith chapter in verse 11 is what we're talking about here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily, everybody say easily, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto your mom. I mean your dad. I mean your boss, your pastor. Who are you looking unto?
Jesus.
There you go. Who are we looking at?
Jesus.
Who's your focus on right now?
Jesus.
That's what we got to have. The problem today, we want to look at everybody and what everybody else has done. And if you got a problem and there's a storm, all of a sudden you begin to look at the storm instead of looking unto Jesus. See, all of a sudden, you know it looks kind of bleak, and you might have been hijacked, and all of a sudden, you might be acting out of character. Look, if you do anything that's contrary to the Word of God, you simply acting out of character because God loves you, God died for you, and God believes in you when you don't believe in you. See, all of a sudden, when you begin to look unto the author and the finisher of your faith, when you begin to understand that He made no mistakes, He created you perfectly and beautifully in His image, when you be able to begin to get that down deep in your inner temples, all of a sudden, everybody gets around you is about to get splashed and about to get wet because they can't shut you down because of who's inside of you, because you've been looking up into Jesus. Amen. Yes. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Oh, the joy that was set before Him who endured the cross. It was set before Him on an old rugged cross on Calvary that He'd be to have nails driven into His wrist, into His feet. He would wear a crown of thorns. He would be spit upon. He would take the javelin in under the rib cage. And I can go on and on and on. The joy of the Lord set before Him. Wow, I got quiet, didn't it? This is where God messed me up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He considered it joy to go through the trials for you and I. He died with joy for you and I. He was nailed to the cross for you and I with joy. When He was on the cross, you was on His mind. Amen? Amen? Amen. Joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Since Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, this means He is also at work right now in your life. If He's the author and the finisher of our faith, it doesn't matter where you're at right now, the trial you're going through right now. Look, I'm not trying to belittle your trial. I got a friend of mine who's under a great, great trial right now, a very wealthy, a very prestigious man in this country. And it don't seem like his trial is that big to me. But to him, it's wiping him out. It's cleaning his clock. And I'm sitting there telling this very scripture, that's all right, look unto the Lord. Man, come on, let me pray with you. He said, I can't even pray right now. I said, man, you're a great man of faith. I have no faith, he says. Man, how's that happen? As long as we keep looking to Him, we will find the sufficiency to move forward in the many areas that will be challenged the year of 2015 for each one of us here. In the midst of the temptations, the problems, the difficulties, the sorrows, the various tasks of opportunities that lie before us, that will surely come. And they'll keep coming, and they'll keep mounting against us in the year 2015. God wants us to stay focused. You hear me? If right now you're in here and you say, well, I really ain't got no trials. What's he talking about? I'm just going to promise you they're coming. There's a trial that's coming that's real. I had a sister tell me a couple weeks ago as we was talking. She said, man, you've been telling me this for months. You've been telling me this, and I walk into the trial, and there it is. Listen, my job is to give you the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, the closer you come to Christ, I can only tell you from my experience, the harder the trials get. I can tell you that a good friend of mine by the name of Pastor Phillips, many of you know this, and he spent a couple hours with me again the other day, but 57 days ago, his son is a praise and worship leader in Atlanta, Georgia, and all he'd done was pull into the Kroger's parking lot, minding his own business on his way home from a long day at work. He wasn't bothering nobody, but he pulls in. It was warm. The window's down. These three teenage boys walk up to him, and when they walk up to him, they take that gun, and they say, give me your car, give me your money. He said, you ain't taking nothing from me. All right, he's just going to drive away. That's what he thought was the right way. Because he couldn't get his seatbelt off, because he was boxed in and couldn't get out. I can tell you all the things that went wrong. That 16-year-old boy took that gun, stuck it at the top of his abdomen, and pulled the trigger. You hear me? I think it's been 60-some surgeries. 55 days, okay? 60-some surgeries. that this guy's went through. He's lost half and all of everything inside of him. It just totally ripped his insides apart. But as I begin to think about this, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. At 4 o'clock in the morning when I received the call from my brother in Christ, he said, Pastor, my faith has been shaken to the very quick. He said, I don't know what else to say or whatever. Have you ever been there? When your faith is shook so hard that you don't know what to do, where the next breath's coming from, and you'd just as soon crawl underneath a rock and die because your faith has been shaken. I said, let me tell you something, Pastor. I said, I'm going to speak right now to this darkness, and we're going to stay focused, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know who shot your son in the stomach, but he will not die tonight. I'm going to stand up with you, and it says when two or more gather, that we're going to stand, and we're going to pray, and we're going to speak to that darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. And we know that in one thing, God works in all things. Amen. Amen. We had to stay focused, and all of a sudden we look back, and again, I got another good report this morning before I come down to preach. He said another surgery, and it's another success, and yesterday, for the first time, all the trachs are out now, and for the first time, he ate a piece of watermelon. Amen. Hallelujah. We had to stay focused. We had to remember that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, and no matter where we're at and what trial we're going through, hope and pray to God that none of us ever go through a trial like that. Now, Daniel, you keep praying for him, but the trial's been unbelievably great, and he's not lost focus because the first moment that he could whisper over top of those tricks, he began to tell the nurse, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? So all of a sudden, you begin to look at it. He says, I've got to stay focused. I've got to understand as a praise and worship leader and all that stuff that little was so little and seemed so big and instrumental to me. All of a sudden, I'm fighting for every breath that I take. And he says, all of a sudden, I begin to see that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of my faith. He said, my focus is straight where it needs to be at. And it doesn't matter what happens. No weapon formed against me can, nor will it prosper because I am focused on the Lord. Give me some praise in the house. In Psalms 28:7, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I help. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him all the days. Amen. No matter what you're going through, stay focused and understand he's the author and the finisher of your faith, and nothing will be formed against you that he will not allow. Shout hallelujah. As you endeavor to stay focused on Jesus, everybody say, look to Jesus. You encounter his presence, amen. That's what you've got to remember. You encounter his presence will give you the extra added dimension to add to your faith to make you stronger for him. That will encourage you to boldly move forward and go where God has called you. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, to boldly move and to go sometimes where other Christians have never been. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6, it says, let your conduct be without covetous. Wow, there's that word I just can't stand. Everybody get your eraser out. We'll take it out today. Be content. Be content. Be content. Everybody say be content. Are you content with your trial today? See, here's the thing. We get in the trial, we ain't content. We want out of it. But if we can be content in the trial, God is getting ready to take you to a whole another level. It says, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said. What's it say? Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. You might not be the Daniel that went to the grocery store and had that revolver crammed into your stomach and your guts blew out. But I can tell you something. Some of you have experienced things that seems to be just as devastating, haven't you? You know what it is to be wiped out, to be carjacked. I remember when I came to the loving knowledge of Christ, I looked at Jesus. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised around Christians, too. I chose to look away from Jesus. I will never leave you and forsake you. I accepted Christ that night. I'll never forget it. And then all of a sudden, the times I was shot, the times I was stabbed, the times I was pronounced dead, the car wrecks I was in, all the hell that I went through, I was able to look back and I said, man, God, you never left me. You never forsook me. Never. God, you was with me through it all. And the man that led me to Christ said this. He said, whew, boy. And he shook a lot. He said, man, your angels are tired. I said, well, I bet they are, man. But as I began to cry and I began to weep, I knew it was just time for me to come home to him. Verse 6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, the truth is this. If you're doing it on your own, the battle's pretty heavy, isn't it? What this is, to sum that part up, is this. Less of us and more of him. Remember, he is our sufficiency. That's why we look to Jesus. And you can do all things through Christ Jesus, as it says in Philippians 4:13. Fourth point, this is the one that I struggled with when I was putting this together. Look to the world. And I said, look to the world? I want you to look to the world. Look at the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ and serve the people that's in this world with love and compassion. Getting involved in the Lord's harvest of souls keeps you in the presence of God. If you're not in the harvest of people, the truth is, we're not where we need to be at. It doesn't leak in God's word as a suggestion to get involved. All the way through God's word, it says, have I not commanded you? And if he's commanded you to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit those incarcerated, and the list goes on and on, the question is, are we doing it? I can only hope that we can all answer yes. But if not, get involved in the Lord's harvest for the souls. This will keep us in the presence of God as a church. In John chapter 4, verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Do you not say? There's all kinds of time. Somebody else can lead them to Christ. They don't look right, act right. I ain't going to the Clark County Jail. I ain't giving up my Saturday. I ain't going on Christmas Eve. Look, I can have all the same excuses that you got, amen? Or I can just go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to go. And every time that I go, I get so blessed I can't take it. Every single time that I do something that costs me something, I get blessed and there's fruit for the Lord. It goes on to say, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. Now listen, lift up your eyes means right now. Listen, there's people out here, it's your friends, your family, it's people that you know, it's people in your job, it's people in your neighborhood, there's people in your church that's dying today. Because the truth is, we won't reach out, and we won't reach up, and we won't reach back, and we won't reach inward, and we won't look to Jesus to be the author and the finisher of our faith. God wants to use you, so look into the world and ask God to use you. Fifth point, in closing, it's time for us in 2015 to look forward. Everybody say, I'm going to look forward. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident. Now, this is fully and firmly committed is what this means. Okay, when we talk about this, being confident, it's not about, well, if I get a chance. Well, I might accept the Lord this year. Listen, I read an obituary this morning. I think it was this morning. And man, oh man, I sat there and I said, Lord, where in the world was I at to witness to this guy? They talked about how he's in heaven having a beer and getting drunk with so-and-so. That's an obituary? It offended me. It offended me because that is God's creation. And I'm wondering, where is the Christians? Where's the example to show him the cross? Where are we to point him in a direction that will allow him to have eternal life? Where in the world are we at? God, use us. Yeah. And today, as I share this with you, is this. Is that God gives us an opportunity to love people right where they're at. God gives us an opportunity to show them the direction. God gives us an opportunity to give them the truth. Because only the truth will set them free. It's not us that sets them free. What we've got to do is we've got to love people enough to tell them the truth. But no, we want to water it down, don't want to hurt their feelings, or they might come against us, or whatever it is. I want you to speak to darkness in the name of Jesus, and it says in God's word that the darkness will be removed. Can you say amen? See, all of a sudden, we begin to look at this looking forward. We've got to have the confidence, which is fully and firmly convinced of who God says he is, because God will be with us. So as we begin to look forward, we can look to each new day with a keen anticipation that God is about to use me. So when we go into the jail, all of a sudden we can begin to say, deputies are mad because we're here again. Juanita's going to take way too long, like always. It's the truth. That's what they say to us. You guys, man, we don't want you in here, and man, I'm going to be mean to you, and we go in with the joy of the Lord. And we had this young boy, Larry's not here today, but Larry and I had this young man, so did somebody else, JJ, and somebody was with JJ, and we was doing the fourth or fifth floor, I don't even know where we was at, but we began to witness, we had this young deputy, looked like he's about 12 years old. But he probably about 19 or 20. And he didn't want to be there, didn't want us there, was using profanity, and the list goes on. It didn't take long. We got to pray. I said, hey, watch this. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I call upon your name, and I ask that you bless this deputy in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden he went, oh, man. I don't want that song about. I don't pay attention. See, all of a sudden, something inside of you will rise up, and it doesn't matter what that deputy says. It doesn't matter what those guys in the pod said. When we walked in there with authority that had been invested in us, and we begin to speak the name of Jesus, I want you to know that the word says all of heaven and all of earth begin to move, and all of a sudden, those people who's incarcerated that everybody else said they're no good, dreads of society, get out of here. That's our brothers and our sisters. Those are all PCs, pre-Christians, in need of a message of salvation. Our job was to kick those gates of hell open, and I want you to know by the dozens on Christmas Eve morning, they come to the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. See, I want to say this. Faith calls us to move. Everybody say move. Everybody stand up. What'd you just do? Yes, all of you moved. Now sit back down. Faith calls us to move. Faith calls us to move. See, what happens is faith has called us into action. And see, you can't get into action if you're going to stay inside the four church walls. If you're going to stay inside your house, inside of your job, God wants you to move, amen. God wants you to move forward. God wants you to take back what the enemy's stolen from somebody. I'm telling you today that you're going to encounter people. When I was standing right over here praising the Lord, I begin to get the spirit of oppression and recession and depression all over me. I know that somebody in here today is struggling. I don't care who you are. I don't care what economic status you have. I don't care if you're black or white. I don't care what you are. You got a Savior that loves you. You got a Savior that died for you. You got a Savior that sets you free. You got a Redeemer that lives. The blood of Jesus Christ is just as real today as it was yesterday. And God has come to set the captives free today. Amen. Give me some praise in the house.
Thank you, Jesus.
Faith. Faith can move us to face the problems that surmounts in front of us today. Undertake the task. Meet those emergencies that lies before you with faith. Dedicate ourselves to the opportunities this year to present ourselves as a complete sacrifice unto our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can go forth with confidence knowing that God is at work and God works through all things. Can you give him a hand clap? As the praise and worship team makes their way back up, I want you to know that we are his children who will be led by him in this journey from day to day. He wants to do something with you and with I today. He wants us to go forward. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, where there is no revelation. Now, I like to teach, amen. Where there is no revelation. Everybody say no revelation. If you don't have divine revelation in your life, if you do not have divine revelation in your life, listen, that means no divine guidance, by the way. If God is not leading you, then Satan is. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Because the problem today, we think we're headed to hell, and we are, or heaven, but we got hell on our, we're headed to, I forget, I'll get it wrong. We're headed to hell with heaven on your mind. Go ahead and listen to my archives. It's on there. And I'm going to tell you what happened to us about a year ago. I got a call from Kentucky. It was inside of a drug house. And this guy's calling me. And he's crying. He's screaming out. He said, we turned on, headed to hell with heaven on my mind. He said, something you preached. He said, everybody inside of this drug house just got saved, amen. We come to the loving knowledge of Christ. We repent. We turn away from it. Listen. I tell you that to tell you this. There's a lot of people headed to hell, but they have heaven on their mind. And I tell you that for this reason. When we go into 2015, we got to focus upon the cross. Amen. Focus upon the cross. Look, you got people in your family right now that's going through the wars of their life. God didn't call you to be wishy-washy, to lay down, to be slothful. God called you to preach truth in the name of Jesus because it says truth is what sets them free. When we walked into the jail, guess what? They made all the bad decisions that got them there. But when we began to preach truth, they said, man, I want some more of that. And I don't want to come back here no more. I don't choose to be addicted. I don't choose to be a thief. I don't choose whatever it is. But I want something that will turn me around. I need substance. Today, somebody needs that substance. It says, where there is no revelation or divine guidance, the people cast off restraint. What's that mean? They run wild. They cast off restraint. They live like hell. They do whatever feels good. They jump from relationship to relationship, drug to drug, bottle to bottle, whatever it is. They throw off restraint. They live wild. There's no divine guidance. There's nothing to get them going the direction they need. But happy is he who keeps the law. As we stand all over the house today, I want to close with this. God's dealing with some of us today. I don't know who it is when I came in here today, before any of you is here, so there ain't nobody put me there but the Lord. Okay? But I want you to know this, that God wants to focus on you and your problem today. What God needs out of you for 2015 is you got everybody to do it like this, shake it off. Shake it off. I don't care what's holding you back, what's hindering you, what's dragging you down. It's time to shake it off. Get it out of the way. You cannot go to hell with heaven on your mind. You can enter this new year with a sense of God's presence. Everybody say presence. If you look to him in each of the directions that I share with you, look back, look inward, look to Jesus, look to the world, and then look forward. Understand God took you to something, brought you to something, brought you through something, and today he is your substance. He is there to help you through every trial, temptation, and task. No matter what it is, you are not alone. He is all sufficient for you in this coming year. So let each of us resolve to Hebrews 12:1, run with patience the race. Run with patience the race that's set before you. So no matter what it is, whatever you're going through, the Lord knows and he's set that race before you. He expects you to win it with him. Amen. As we begin to open the altar up here, I just want you to know, I want to finish this. When I came in here today, there was three things that God just nailed me with. Recession, oppression, and depression. Three things. If those three things are yours, get up here and get rid of it because it's not yours. Get rid of that stuff. If that speaks to you. The other thing is, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm tired of doing young funerals. Amen. And people say, man, I hope baby's okay. Well, they're either okay or they're not. It's that simple. But I want you to know that I was talking to a brother from Columbus that used to go to church here this weekend. I said, how are you doing with your son's death? Just driving down the interstate in Columbus, and he dies. He has a wreck and dies. He said, Pastor, the only thing that I have that gives me peace, he says, that he did accept Christ before he died. I know that for a fact. Amen. Listen, can you imagine losing someone and you don't even know if they're saved? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. It's a personal relationship. As we kick off 2015, whatever your baggage is, remember Santa Claus just left, you know, the big red bag? Whatever your bag or backpack is you're dragging around all 2014, the battle's not yours, it's God's. God loves you, God cares about you, and all you got to do, like I said, it's so simple. A fool shouldn't miss it. Take the first step. Believe in your heart and confess your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. It says you're saved. Listen, you're dropping anchor on somebody else today. Man, I don't know who this is for. But God says you got someone that he's placed inside of your life that's holy, and you keep dropping anchor on them. You keep dragging them back. They're trying to study the Word of God, and you're nothing but confusion to them. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. That's what happens to us. When I pray, I want to help you, not hinder you. And you should be the same way. We should help each other and not hinder us. If there's any of you in here today that's been held back with that rope and that noose and everything, it's time for you to break. Just cut the rope, man, and let God have everything of you. Every bit of you, don't hold back. The altar's open. If any of those conditions are yours, come to the altar as they begin to praise the Lord.